But 2 Corinthians chapter 9 says, let's start at verse 6. It says, "But this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver." So the Lord doesn't like a grumpy giver. He likes a cheerful giver. He likes somebody that is happy. And really what it means is he doesn't want to have to twist your arm to be generous. Amen? Verse 8, "And God is able to make all grace abound to you, that you always having all sufficiency in all things may have an abundance for every good work." So God wants to bless you through this so that you can be a blessing to others. That you can have an abundance of good works. Amen? Amen? Then in verse 10 it says, "Now may he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food supply and multiply the seed you have sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness." So we see that God not only encourages us to sow, but he also says, "Look, I will supply the seed and I will multiply the seed." Amen? Now, please turn to Mark chapter 6, verse 30. And it's really the feeding of the 5,000. Everybody say the feeding of the 5,000. We're going to see this principle right here in this story. Verse 30. "Then the apostles gathered to Jesus and told him all things, both what they had done and what they had taught." So Jesus sent them out and they went preaching and teaching and praying for the sick, casting out devils. "And he said to them, come aside by yourself to a deserted place and rest a while. For there were many coming and going, and they did not even have time to eat." Imagine being that busy for the Lord that you don't even have time to eat. Amen. Hallelujah. Verse 32. "So they departed to a deserted place in the boat by themselves, but the multitudes saw them departing, and many knew him, and ran there on foot from all the cities. They arrived before them and came together to him." Imagine how popular Jesus was. That they kind of figured out where he was going. They became like an internal GPS. They said, the boat is going there. We're going to run there and we're going to meet him there ahead of time. So they departed and they met him. And Jesus, in verse 34, when he came out, saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion for them because they were like sheep not having a shepherd. So he began to teach them many things. And when the day was now far spent, his disciples came to him and said, this is a deserted place and already the hour is late. Send them away now that they may go into the surrounding country and the villages and buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat. In other words, there were no shopping centers nearby. There was nothing that they could just run down to get the food and be back in a hurry. There's nothing. And they said, send them away. It's before it gets too late to go down and get their food. We're in a deserted place. But he answered and said to them, no. You give them something to eat. Now think about it. There's 5,000 people there. And the Bible really says this was 5,000, not counting the men and the women and the children. All right? It says, you give them something to eat. And they said to him, I believe you can put a word in there. What? What? You know, Judas almost had a heart attack. You know, be a nervous breakdown because he saw the money going very quick. Because they said, shall we go and buy 200 denarii worth of bread and give them something to eat? I mean, that was a lot of money. That was a year's wage. But he said to them, wait a minute. How many loaves do you have? In other words, go and see. What do you have? You know, we talk about God providing the seed and multiplying the seed. And this is a very important question. They said, we don't have that. How are we going to feed this 5,000? We don't have enough. And what did he say to them? Go look, what do you have? Because you know, sometimes when it comes to giving to the Lord, to giving to the Lord's work, we say to ourselves, well, I can't do that. I don't have enough. But the Bible always poses the question, well, what do you have? And are you a cheerful giver? And are you willing? Do you want to do it? So if you want to do it, then what do you have? What do you purpose in your heart to do? So they went out and they said, well, we found 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Now tell everybody, 5 loaves, 2 fishes is not enough to feed 5,000. I mean, if you, and that's just the men, remember, if you took those 5 loaves and 2 fishes and you split them up, let's just use the 5,000 ways. I mean, people like say, oh, thank you. That really fed me. Thank you very much. 5 loaves and 2 fishes are not enough. But Jesus asked, what do you have? In a sense, what you have, even if it's not enough, is enough when you put it in the Master's hand. See, that's the secret. That's the secret. If you look and you say, well, that's all I've got, you're going to flat panic because you've got those 5,000 hungry people looking at you. And how many of you have ever met a mob of hungry people, especially 5,000? It's not pretty. So he said, well, what do you have? 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And then he said, he commanded them to make them all sit down in groups on the green grass or grass. So they sat down in ranks, in hundreds and in 50s. And when he had taken the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, you see, he took what they had, he looked up into heaven, and he blessed and broke the loaves. You see, that's also another key. What you do have, you need to present it to God. Because really, you need, what do you need to come on what you have? You need the blessing of heaven to come on it. Because that's where the miracle sits. You know, if you're going to take it and say, well, in my own strength, I'm going to do this thing, you're going to just have, I mean, it's impossible. But if you seek the blessing of God on what you're about to do, that changes everything. Come on. Don't look at me so serious. It's Pentecost Sunday. You got to take what you have. You got to take what you have in your hands, what you have in your life. Because really the truth is your whole life, everything you have, your life, your time, your energy, your money, your possessions, your assets, it's all really a potential seed in the hands of God. It just depends on how you want to handle it. Are you going to take what you have? Are you going to lift it up? And are you going to say, oh God, bless this which I have? Because really, when you lift something up, what you're basically saying to the Lord is, God, I honor you, I recognize you, you are my source, and here it is. Do with me, do with what I have, as you please. Amen? Tell somebody he's telling the truth. So he looked up into heaven and blessed and broke the loaves and gave them to his disciples to give to the people. So yeah, he blessed it, he prayed, he blessed it, and I believe the Holy Spirit came and settled on that transaction. And then he took it and he started to break it. And what did he do? He gave it to his disciples. He gave the bread and the 2 fish and he divided them among all. And the disciples took the pieces and started passing it out. And a miracle happened. They all ate and were filled. Tell somebody they all ate and were filled. And then they took up 12 baskets full of fragments and of the fish. So in the end, everybody ate and there was more left over than what they started with. Some of you, did you miss the miracle? After they ate, there was more left over than what they started with. See, that is... Now, if you ask yourself the question, when did it happen? Now, yes, some people, everybody says, yes, Jesus blessed it. He gave it to the disciples when the disciples broke and gave it. The multiplication happened in the disciples' hands. But I guarantee you, while they were doing it, when did they notice it was happening? You see, the thing about these kind of miracles is, at the end, when you realize, oh my goodness, wait a minute, we just fed 5,000. And yo, we got 12 baskets left over. You see, you ask yourself the question, when exactly did the lightning strike? See, that's what God can do with your finances. That's what God can do with your circumstances when you put it in His hands. When He says, okay, what do you have? Well, Lord, you know, I've only got 5 loaves and 2 fishes. But you see, when you give it to Him, when you give what you have, and you bring the blessing of God on it, a miracle happens. How, when, where, we can't always put our finger on it. How many of you have noticed that? Some people say, well, how did I come through this month, and all my bills are paid, and I've got gas in the car, which is a big deal today. I've got gas in the car, and there's food on the table, and everything, and there's still money in the bank. When did this happen? Has anybody experienced this miracle? See, there's provision from God. There's supernatural provision. But you have to put your faith in Him. And it's one thing to say, yes, God, I have faith. I believe You are my provider. You know, Psalm 23, for the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. You are my shepherd, Lord. You provide for me. It's easy to say that. But it's another thing to say, yes, Lord, here's my 5 loaves and 2 fishes. But it's when you do that, when you become generous to the kingdom of God, towards the kingdom, that's when the miracle happens. Do you know that God is very generous? Imagine if He wasn't generous. We would not read John 3:16. For God so loved the world. He didn't want to give, so... But what does it say? For God so loved. So His motive is love that He gave His only begotten Son. So that in order that we might be saved. And then later on, He gives the Son that was given, gives His life at the cross. And after His resurrection, He ascends to the right hand of the Father. And once again, God gives. He gives and He pours out the promise of the Holy Spirit on us. I mean, God is a giver. He's generous. Everything, I mean, think about it. Everything, a miracle is God giving of Himself. Provision, God giving of Himself. Healing, God giving of Himself. Provision, God giving of Himself. We talk about the anointing. The anointing working, the anointing touching, the anointing flowing and doing amazing things. All of that is God giving of Himself. His presence. Healing us. Coming close. Come a little closer, Lord. God giving of Himself. Everything that happens to us, when we get touched by God, it's God giving of Himself. He's actually looking at you, moving on your behalf. Think of it. The God of creation. Almighty, all-powerful. Moving right now, on your behalf, and touching you. That's God giving. See, we mustn't have this entitlement attitude with God, you see. Everything that God does, He's generous. Very generous. Who here has been sick and healed by the Lord Jesus before? Look at that, the generosity of Jesus. Who was once lost but is now saved? Wow, look at that. The generosity of God. Come on, who was once depressed and now there's the joy of the Lord filling you on? Look, and the generosity of the Lord. So can you see that God is so, 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 so generous? And he hasn't stopped giving. And it's part of him. So that's why often in the Bible, even in the, with you read throughout the Bible, whenever people came to the Lord and said, "Lord, we need a miracle," he always said, "What do you have?" He was looking for it. He was looking for a little bit of himself in you. Is there going to be generosity in you? What are you going to do? Are you going to get mingy, stingy? Because that's against the nature of God. But when you become generous, you're saying to the Lord, "You know what? I like you so much. I want to be like you." Come on, Christians. Any Christians here? Let's read that verse again in 2 Corinthians 9, verse 10. It says, "Now may he who supplies seed to the sower..." So God has supplied many things to you. You know what he gave you? Life. He gave you you. Think about that. How many got children here? Life. He gave you your children. Yeah. Everything. Your house, your car. Even the food that you have. As long as it's not GMOs. Given by God. Given, it comes from him. God created all of this. It's his generosity. He supplies seed and bread for food. He supplies things for you. He watches over you. You got to believe that. And then he not only supplies, but he multiplies the seed. In other words, when you take what you have, your 5 loaves and 2 fishes, and you give it to him, you know what he does? He increases it. And by doing that, he multiplies it, and the fruit of your righteousness just explodes. Hallelujah. God is generous, so be generous. Support. You know, the Bible says, a scripture that we're really enjoying around the river circles at the moment is, "God delights in the prosperity of his servants." How many servants of God do we have? All right. He delights in your prosperity. Why? Because you have chosen to support his righteous cause. So why is he delighting in you and your prosperity? It's because you're getting behind his righteous cause. What is his righteous cause? It all came out of his generosity. Jesus, the cross, the shed blood, the resurrection, salvation, everything. The gospel. We support that. And he says, "You know what? You've given your 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Now let me multiply it. You'll have more than enough." And when you look back at it, you'll say, "When did it happen?" Because God is supernatural. You see, you don't have to figure it out. You don't have to figure out the miracle. You know, the interesting thing about this story, everyone say five. 5 loaves speaks of the grace of God. All right? God's grace, it's unmerited favor. You don't have to figure it out. You don't even have to, you don't have to work for it. Bible says you can come boldly to the throne of grace and you will not be turned away. He'll hear you. 5 loaves, grace. 2 fishes. The number 2 stands for unity, or the unity in agreement. And we come into agreement with God and his word that says, "My God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory." You see? That, "And the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." In other words, the number 2, the 2 fishes, there's grace and then there's agreement. 2. "Where 2 or 3 agree on anything, it shall be done." And that really, if you study it out, has to do with the agreement. When we come into agreement with him. Come on. "Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." When we come into agreement, it happens. So we have the number 5, it's grace. We have the number 2, it's unity, it's agreement. It's a joining. And there's so much more in the number two, but we won't go there. And then we have the 12 baskets, which really speaks of government, which speaks of the kingdom of God. You see, the kingdom of God is very powerful. It says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all these things that you need will be added unto you. Hallelujah. So we have five, grace, two, unity, agreement, and then we have number 12, the kingdom of God, the government of God. And the government of God rests forever upon the shoulders of the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Do you believe that God is for you and not against you? Then don't be afraid. You have not received the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. I'm going to just take a few minutes and read you some biblical statements. Did you want to hear some biblical statements? Yes. I am filled with the knowledge of God's will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. His will is my prosperity. Colossians 1:19. God delights in my prosperity. He gives me power to get wealth, that he might establish his covenant upon the earth. Deuteronomy 8:18. I immediately respond in faith to the guidance of the Holy Spirit within me. I am always in the right place at the right time because my steps are ordered by the Lord. Psalm 37:23. God has given me all things that pertain to life and godliness, and I am well able to possess all that God has provided for me. 2 Peter 1, verse 3 and 4. God is the unfailing, unlimited source of my supply. My financial income now increases as the blessings of the Lord overtake me. Deuteronomy 28:2. As I give, it is given to me, good measured, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Luke 6, verse 38. I honor the Lord with my substance and the first fruits of my increase. In other words, I bring in my tithe. And when I do this, my barns are filled with plenty and my presses burst forth with new wine. Amen. Proverbs 3, verse 9 and 10. How many of you like these? Yes. Amen. I like this one. I am like a tree planted by the rivers of water. I bring forth fruit in my season. My leaf shall not wither, and whatever I do or whatever I put my hand to, it will prosper and it will succeed. The grace of God even makes my mistakes to prosper. Hallelujah. How many of you need that one? That was one of the most powerful statements in the city. I am blessed in the city, blessed in the field, blessed coming in, blessed going out. I'm blessed in my basket. I'm blessed in the store. My bank accounts, investments, health, and relationships, they all flourish. The blessings of the Lord overtake me in all areas of my life. Deuteronomy 28. Hallelujah. We still got a few more. The blessings of the Lord makes one truly rich, and he adds no sorrow to it. Proverbs 10, verse 22. You know, some of these wealthy people in the world, they're not happy. But you see, if you walk in the blessing of God, and it's a joy, you know why? Because you're tied into something bigger. And you're just a steward of something that isn't really yours. It's all his. That is freedom. That is freedom. I knew one friend of mine who started a business in his garage. Business grew over to multiple millions of dollars. I mean, million dollar business. And I was in his house and I said, how are you doing? He said, all I want is a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. I said, why? What's wrong? He says, you know, before I got all of this money, life was easy, simple. But you know what I found out? Money brings problems. Even this house, and he had a big house. See, even this house The moment I bought it, it started to break down. The more you have. You see, if all you look for is money, and big houses, and fancy cars, and you don't tie that blessing into the purpose and the plans and the cause, that you don't get behind the cause of heaven, then all of that is empty. It's just empty. Money without Jesus is poison. My God makes all grace abound towards me in every favor and earthly blessing, so that I have all sufficiency for all things and abound to every good work. 2 Corinthians 9 verse 8. The Lord has opened to me his good treasure and blessed the works of my hand. He has commanded the blessing upon me in my storehouse and all that I do. Come on, say that with me. The Lord has opened to me his good treasure and blessed me and blessed the works of my hands. He has commanded a blessing upon me in my storehouses and all that I do in the name of Jesus. I delight myself in the Lord, and he gives me the desires of my heart. Hallelujah. See, if you delight in him, he gives you the desires of your... By the way, that's Psalms 37 verse 4. Oh, Lord. The Lord rebukes the devourer. Yeah, he's rebuked. He's under my feet. And no weapon that is formed against me and against my finances will prosper. Amen. All obstacles and hindrances to my financial prosperity are now dissolved and done away with. My mind is renewed by the word of God. Therefore, I forbid thoughts of failure and defeat to inhabit my mind. I will prosper and be in good health, even as my soul prospers.